All right. I'll call the meeting to order. Thank you. There it is. Irene, can you determine a quorum?
Yes. Sarah Holmgren?
Here.
Mara Lutomski?
Excused.
Not here.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl File?
Here.
Jay Lister? Not here. Sandra Stevens?
Here.
All right. I have three present. Let's rise for Pledge of Allegiance. There's a nice flag over here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the August 9th, 2016 agenda. Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sandra, are you will you approve the agenda?
Yep.
Okay. Motion passes 3-0. Any correspondence? Mm-hmm. Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Comments from board members?
It's going to be short and sweet.
Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
A second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Cheryl File?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Sandra Stevens?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 3-0. Now we've already moved on to administrative report, superintendent report. Erica Kluke-Painter.
Thank you. So it's been a busy summer since we were last together in June, and I have been trying to give some different updates to the board throughout the summer just about happenings going on, and Karen Quitzland will provide a nice overview of what's been going on in the business office with the audit and that sort of thing. And then also Dan Tate will follow up on the tour we just took and talking about all the projects that they've been working on since the two of them are extremely busy during the summer here. I just returned from a superintendent meeting in Juneau last weekend, and lots of information and meetings with Department of Education staff. They are working really hard to deal with a lot of cuts at their level, cuts in personnel, and trying to reorganize at their level, which is very commendable. They're a pretty incredible group of people, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about how things might look this year as far as different kinds of reporting and support for schools and for our different programs going on in our buildings. They're a pretty amazing group. We have a new Commissioner of Education, Dr. Michael Johnson is his name, and he was a superintendent in Copper River. He's taken over for the interim commissioner, Susan McCauley, and he's going to be excellent, I think. He's very knowledgeable. He understands the state of Alaska. He is really passionate about public education. He's a strong advocate. He has good relationships with legislators, and he's just well respected in the state. So I think he's going to be really great to work with. Lots going on with Every Student Succeeds Act and making the transition from No Child Left Behind. We are moving forward with all of those kinds of things. There's a lot of flexibility in the legislation, which is great, but it does provide some challenges because it also means we have to determine some different things in our district about assessments and so there's a lot of work that we have to do, but it's exciting. I think it's a great opportunity for our district, even in these challenging financial times. I think it's really going to challenge us to be even more creative than we have been before, and we can do that because we are smart and creative people. So we can do it. Still working on the request for proposals for the state assessment. That has been very challenging. And again, I would argue, as we kind of talked last spring about this as it was unfolding, rather than rushing into something that's not going to be good or be beneficial as far as giving us good information about our kids' achievement levels and all of that, we're working with the federal department to, if we have to, even come up with like an interim type assessment for a year or two rather than getting into something that doesn't work well. After this spring, and the AMP issue, we are not going to go there. So, which I appreciate. So it's kind of creating some stress for people at the department. You know, the new commissioner is kind of having to deal with that waiver process, you know, with the federal government and that sort of thing. But it's the right thing to do because we want it to be a good assessment. So that is what is going on there. We are gearing up for all kinds of things around the school here as we get underway with upcoming rollout events. And Mr. Cabral, and I think Mr. Drummond was here too last week for the first tobacco, alcohol, drug required meeting for parents and students who are participating in activities. It's a new requirement from the State Activities Association. And it was pretty well attended for August.
Yeah, we filled all these chairs.
So there's the chairs. That's why the chairs were here. And lots of kids showing up, which was great. And then the next one of those is on August 30th. And the next one after that is September 6th, I believe. 6:30 here. So, you know, the first activities are cross country and swim, dive. And they need to attend that. And their parents have to attend. It's kind of similar to the rollout. So some good information there. I think it was like an hour long, maybe. Is that right?
About an hour, yeah.
Okay. And then just gearing up for activities that are already starting and already have been going for a couple weeks, really, cross country. I think the first meet, like the first weekend in, end of August?
Home
Labor Day weekend, I think. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a big one. That'll be fun. I'm sure we'll need lots of help. I'll do Mr. Cabral's thing.
Yes.
Looking for all those volunteers out there who want to help with cross country. It'll be great. And then laptop rollout dates will be coming. I think it starts with seniors on the 22nd.
I think so.
And working down from there each night. Lots of information coming out on that. Yeah, it's just a funny and busy place in the summer. And we're ready for kids. We're excited to get the year off and going, so I think that's enough for me.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, normally our principals aren't here this week. They're not supposed to be reporting to school until next week.
They
Mr. Dormer happens to be here. You're welcome to speak if you'd like, but if not, that's okay too.
I'll answer questions I didn't prepare for.
Okay.
I don't think we have any.
I don't have any, at least right now. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
As well as Mr. Cabral should not be reporting for work for
that's
at least
right.
another week or two, so we'll skip over activities director's report.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll have plenty to fill us in when we do see him next at the next board meeting. So we'll move on to director of finance report, Karen Quitson.
I have a little bit to report. I'll reiterate what Erica said. It has been a very busy summer. We went live with our new Infinite Vision software program July 1st, and the first payroll went really smooth and was very exciting for me because all the direct deposits now are actually emailed to everyone. And in addition, we have a thing called the Employee Portal,
mm-hmm.
so you can log into your Employee Portal, which we'll be doing training on coming up here pretty soon, and you can actually see all your paychecks right there. It's great. So the other thing that was a real thrill for me was that I got to upload the Department of Retirement and Benefit PERS and TERS report. Previously, I manually input everybody's wages and then calculate it. This report was a click of one button, and magically it was there, and it was perfect. So I'm super thrilled about that. So all the training that we've been doing for the last 16 weeks or so of, you know, trying to fit in all the components of this program, it's going to be great. So there is still a fair amount to set up in the program, and that's why in your report the financials are not complete,
mm-hmm.
because I'm still working on how to actually create the reports and get the budget in there. So there's still some work to be done, but it's going to be great when it's all up and running. So last week we had our audit for fiscal 16, and I think it went pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
My work is all done for that, which I'm super excited about, and they will report to the board and the public probably in October.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, I just want to touch briefly on the vetoes to the state budget and the impact it's going to have on our school district. So we're looking right now, it's all based on ADM, which is Average Daily Membership, which is our student count that we do in October. So this funding that has come out from the state is based on our projected ADM that we sent in October. And the direct hit is $46,725. And where that impacts us is in our bus transportation, and that's just about $16,000. And then the foundation funding of $30,761. That will fluctuate depending on what our ADM comes out to. Right now, we're short for our bus contract. Mm-hmm. The board actually has kind of anticipated that. And we actually have transferred funds into our transportation program in the last couple of years. So we'll still be okay in that fund for a few more years. Given that the state still funds bus transportation, I guess we have to give that disclaimer as well. The borough is also going to be impacted from these vetoes because they actually they hold our debt retirement, and that's been reduced by 25%, and that's $117,000. So it's not just the school that's impacted by this, but also the borough. Erica, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, was kind of that last minute sort of thing that was happening throughout the summer with kind of the legislature not moving on mm-hmm. at things that eventually, you know, to get an actual budget to pass, that's just where it was. There was no other option there mm-hmm. to move forward. So I think it's a very difficult situation. I think we have lots more conversations to have mm-hmm. with our communities and in our state about where we are and where we're going, because the numbers are there. I mean, the facts are there about what the state of our fiscal situation, and there's lots of ideas about what to do in the future, but doing nothing just continues to not be an option. And mm-hmm. so I don't, it's going to be stressful this year, continue to be stressful this year.
And I went to a leadership conference in Kenai with the state of Alaska school business officials, mm-hmm. and my job is going to become a little bit more challenging because there's going to need to be a lot more information mm-hmm. provided on how mm-hmm. we're spending our funds, so which I'm always happy to provide that information, but it's they're going to be scrutinizing school budgets. That's kind of the message that we are getting. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll be
which
ready.
Which is, again, fine. I mean, we've always tried to be that, you know, that mm-hmm. that transparency is there. And if people ever have questions or want to come in and know about things, they're certainly welcome to do that or look online with everything mm-hmm. is posted. But, yeah, it's everything's being questioned and discussed and, you know, what is absolutely necessary and why, and a lot more justification for why things are funded the way they are. So mm-hmm. it's going to be... We're all going to be dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So just about the time you get the efficiencies because of the new software program, they're going to dump more.
Yes.
More responsibility and reporting on you.
It's all fine. I mean, I think that one of my major roles is to provide information mm-hmm. to the public and to the board. So I mean, I like transparency mm-hmm. and I feel like since I've come on, that's been a major role that I provided is providing mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
That's all I really have actually for a report.
Well, I will say I did talk to the auditors. I had my meeting with them and they had nothing but great things to say. So nice job.
Thank you.
It's a lot of work to prep for it. So good job.
Yes.
All right. Next we'll have Director of Maintenance, Mr. Dan Tate.
Well, I'd like to reiterate what Superintendent KP said about having the kids come back. The guys' day at work mentioned that it'll be nice to have them back here.
Oh.
And I think they're ready for a change because it's been, kind of a hard summer for everyone around here. I would say in the 9 summers that I spent here, this is a good solid 3, maybe even the second hardest mm-hmm. summer of projects. And that's great. You know, we like doing the things for the kids and the district and the staff. but right now it is punch time here at the district. Finishing touches are on the classrooms, and major projects are pretty much wrapping up. The custodians will be moving out of those classrooms that they're deep cleaning and into the hallways and the common spaces pretty shortly to get those areas spruced up for everyone. And with all the ground they have to cover, they will probably be deep cleaning right up until the last day. Yeah, that's just kind of the way it works around here. So normally I'd give a detailed account of all the summer projects that we do, but since we just had the tour, I'm just going to summarize these as quickly as I can for those who are listening in. Several classrooms were prepared for several new teachers. That, you know, requires fresh paint, added cabinetry in some cases, new furniture possibly. It's time-consuming work, and we got that pretty much taken care of. To facilitate our new high school lunchroom project, the special education classroom was moved across the hall, which necessitated building a new office area for the special ed instructor in her new classroom. And that was probably the biggest project that we had this summer. And it came out fairly well. The elementary cafeteria dishwashing station was rebuilt with new plumbing, floor drains, grease traps, garbage disposal. All those items did not previously exist, and now they do, so we're more up to code than we have ever been. Kind of excited about that, and glad that we could do that for Carly Johnson and her program. The playground landscaping timbers were largely removed for safety reasons. Outdated play equipment was removed for future expansion. We did some small ADA improvements, both inside and outside, thinking ahead for the coming students who are coming in. And of course, there's that large landscaping project out in front of the elementary school. I guess maybe that was the biggest project in terms of effort required to get it done. That was well reported by Angela Denning and our own Eric Hoff on the radio, and I encourage everyone, if you haven't heard it, to get on KFSK.org and listen to it. Eric explains very well what our theories were and why we went the way we did, and I really enjoyed hearing his report. And I just would like to say that it was really his vision and his hard work that made that project come to light, so a tip of the hat to Eric. Contractors were in the building quite a bit. They installed new LED lights in the high school shop in the weight room. New service windows were installed in the middle school office. Carpeting was installed in the hallways and the offices of the combined high school and middle school. Gym floor had its annual refinish. Work was started on the new floor for the high school cafeteria, and that will probably continue into the school year. We're waiting on the contractor to come back on that, but we're moving forward with the project. Drainage was improved where the running track meets the playground at the elementary, and as we heard earlier tonight, no more Lake Stedman back there, and that's probably a big plus for at least the staff, maybe not the kids. In the tech department, John Clute Painter and Caleb Cullum, they managed that fiber optic service upgrade over to the elementary school, and I would just like to say that Caleb has he's worked very hard over there, and we should all acknowledge him when he comes back to work in September, mm-hmm. what he's done, and of course John's guidance in the project. So let's keep that in mind. Due to material delays, the new boiler for the middle school high school should have been in by now, but they've told us that they will be here on the 15th and 16th. Should be a pretty quick transition, and we shouldn't really notice a whole lot of disruption in service over here, even though we'll have limited staff back. We shouldn't have to worry about it. Bottom line, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the more difficult summers that I can remember in terms of scope of work required and the difficulty of the work that we had to do. My crew made this possible. I would like to especially acknowledge Terry Falter for his efforts over at the elementary school. He stayed way ahead of schedule, and he had a great eye for detail in getting those rooms ready for our elementary school staff members. Eric Hoff and Rance McIntosh wore many hats, and they pulled all those projects together for us. I really was pulled in so many different directions that I didn't stay on any one project any one time, so I really have to say that those two gentlemen in particular, and Terry usually helped them out, they got things done around here this summer. Mm-hmm. As it is with every summer, I prepare the supporting documentation for our CIP applications, which we will cover later in this meeting. But out of those preparations, I pulled some following data to share you about our fuel usage and our electricity usage, mm-hmm. and I know I've already been talking for quite a bit, so I'll try to move through these quickly, but I believe you have all this in your packet. Mm-hmm. The first chart says Stedman Elementary School's heating oil use trend.
Oh, I got stapled twice. It's all right.
It's a game.
It's fine. Go ahead.
All right.
Sorry.
It shows the last 3 years of fuel use at Stedman Elementary, and the first line is the fiscal year 2014 before the remodel, and if you can tell, and no one else on the radio can see this, but it's off the chart. I mean, mm-hmm. the fuel use. We used 24,000 gallons of fuel oil for about $90,000 that year. And then the remodel happened. We dropped down to 11.7 thousand gallons for a total of $49,000 out of pocket to the district. And then this last year, we actually came up a little bit to 12.1 thousand gallons. And of course, with a drop in fuel price, we only paid $29,000 in fuel. But the bottom line on this one is it's 50% less fuel from when we did the remodel. And what we have here, if you look at the red and the green, we've got a pretty predictable data going here. Mm-hmm. And granted, you know, we've had some pretty mild winters, and we get some really cold weather. We're going to see some spikes, and that's to be expected. But I think we can utilize this data really well between Karen and Erica and I to really predict where we should be putting our budget money in the coming years, as long as we keep maintaining this data. Mm-hmm. So moving along quickly, the second page is just the supporting numbers for that, and I already mentioned those. And then at the middle school, high school, we got the same chart for fuel. And I'll run through it really quickly. Again, big spikes back in 2014. We were running two 30-year-old boilers back then. We went through 53,000 gallons of fuel in 2014 for almost $200,000. The next year, fiscal year 2015, we used 36,000 gallons, 31% less. And we dropped to about $125,000 out of pocket. And then for this last fiscal year, which ended in June, 33,000 gallons, 37% less than that first year, 2014, for $80,000 out of pocket, factoring in, of course, less cost per gallon. But between the 2 years, again, another predictable envelope, the red and green are right next to each other, 9% less fuel from 2015 to 2016. That's data we can use. We can really make use of that in the future. Excuse me. And you may be wondering why the change over here. A couple of quick reasons. I took over in 2013, and by the spring of that year, I was getting used to what my position was, and I had some time to look at our fuel use. And I realized at that time we only had three or four zones that I could actually control. And what I mean by that is we had an auditorium zone, we had a gym zone, we had a high school zone. Mm-hmm. And so when we had events, pretty much the whole school was fired up. So I got into the DDC programming that we have, and I think I got about 12 to 14 zones in there now. So for instance, tonight, this room and the band room, I think, are the only two rooms running on that particular system, and the rest of the school shut down. Nice. So that started in April 2014, and you can see the big decline, and it carried into the next fall on the other side of the page. And then, of course, in 2015, we got our first boiler in March, and then that's the red line. And if you look at March of that year, it started dropping off pretty dramatically. Mm-hmm. And then we expect the same thing to happen when we get this next boiler. We should see yet another small decrease. Won't be anything great, but it'll be something. And that's what we're looking forward to there. The next page is just the supporting data that I mentioned there. And these next charts, I won't spend hardly any time at all. It's the electrical use for the schools. The middle school, high school combined electrical use trend, we had 11% reduction from 2015 to 2016. Again, another really predictable chart. The two are just right on top of each other, but with 11% reduction. And I think a lot of that has to do with the gym LEDs, for one thing. And I've also asked my staff, and we've been putting up signage to, you know, turn off lights in storage rooms and things like that when they're not needed, because for many years, lights were left on all night and no one really was thinking about it. So little things like that add up. Stebbins Elementary, we're basically using the same amount of kilowatt hours. They don't quite match up, but we used 205,000 kilowatts 1 year, the first year, and the second year we used 197. So a little bit of decrease. We're spending about $33,000 a year in electricity over at the elementary school. But we have LED lights over there now, and that's probably, I wish we could have had 2014 on here, because I think that would have been off the chart with all the electrical we had going over there. Next item is the district office. The only thing I'm going to comment there is we have electric furnaces in there, and I suppose if we do have some cold weather, we would see spikes. But for the most part, we have some nice curves and data to work there with there as well. Excuse me. We had a 6% drop from the 2015 to 2016, so trying to be conservative all the way around. The next one is the vocational building, the high school shop. Now, we actually did see an increase in that building over there. 21% more power was used from 15 to 16, 40,000 kilowatts up to 50,000 kilowatts. It cost the district an extra $500. And to the best of my reckoning, I think what happened there is, well, we're running a few more programs out of there, and we have a lot more equipment running in there. And we also have a new instructor, and the way that his methodology, maybe he's staying there longer, keeping lights on. I haven't really looked into it that much, but we had some changes in that respect, so that could have something to do with it. But I really think it comes down to that we're asking more of that building than we have in the past. And maybe Rick could speak to that point if he had a thought or two. What we can look forward to, though, is those new LED lights that went in June. I'm expecting to see a 40 to 60% decrease in electrical use out of each one of those fixtures that we put in. We did one for one. And the reason it ranges so much is we had some fixtures that had four tubes in them that were T12s. We had some that had three. We had some that had two tubes. So, but overall, we're going to see another nice drop in our electrical use of the Moquette building come this next year. And the last two charts I just want to comment on, it's the Aquatic Center and the Community Gym. And perhaps the listeners don't know that the school district does pay for the electrical use in those two facilities because we have a shared use agreement with them. And over at the pool, you know, they have electric boilers, and they went through 1.25 million kilowatts in 15 and 1.28 million. It cost the district $137,000 in electricity the first year, $145,000 the next year, this last fiscal year. You know, it's a 6% increase. It looks like they're managing it pretty well, but we ultimately don't have any control over that. So I'm just reporting what my numbers are. And in the community gym, again, from 1 year to the next, 100,000 kilowatts 1 year, 100 and almost 102 the next year, 1% increase. Cost the district an extra $500. But the bill that we pay for the community gym is about $10,000 a year for electricity. So just interesting fact that I have there. So that was a lot of information. I just thought it was really interesting that when I went through the CIP process that, you know, we were making these great strides in our savings of energy, and that's one of the board goals, and I'm happy to report that we're able to meet that at this point. So is there any questions?
Nice job. I appreciate these. They're nice to look at and, you know, see what where our trends have been the last few years, and it's all it's been good. Those are always nice to look at, but it's also helpful just to see.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm really looking forward to, you know, taking this data into the district office and seeing what we can do for the future budgets.
That's great.
Thank you.
I'm curious if you happen to know, like, the community gym and the pool. I know they put in LED lighting in the gym, but is it still standard fluorescent in the rest of the facility?
No, what they did is they put in T5, which is the most efficient fluorescent that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
It's just as bright.
They did not put LED, but they put in... Okay.
But I believe that their hallways may still be something like T8.
Okay.
I don't think there's much T12 over there. And in fact, I remember Joe Bertinoli telling me once he didn't think there was much T12 left in the borough buildings at all.
Okay.
So it's fairly reasonable.
They've been moving toward that direction, kind of.
And, you know, perhaps we can work on our relationships with the borough managers over there in that facility to see what we can do to further reduce it if there's anything that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any questions for him anymore? Okay. Next, we move to school board committee reports, and since school isn't in session, I would venture to guess that none of these are met over the summer, since we normally wouldn't, which would be curriculum, crisis, technology, wellness, facilities, legislative liaison, policy, and then negotiations would not be would not be meeting at all. So I'm sure we'll have maybe get started on those either by October, maybe after the election, and we figure out what committees, subcommittees we all want to be on. So think about that right now, or start thinking about it. Any special recognition, things that happened over the summer for staff that we...
Well, Carly Johnson just finished her bachelor's degree.
She did. Congratulations, Carly.
She's been working on that really hard, so we give her a lot of congratulations for that. Mr. V and his lovely wife had their second child this summer, that's exciting. Another beautiful girl to add to the pool. See? Okay. And, we have another, Lisa Schrammick is getting ready to have her baby soon this fall, so, yeah. Okay. I think that's about it.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On to upcoming dates and media announcements. August 15th, office and staff and principals will be back to work. The 22nd through the 25th is staff in service. On August 25th, we'll have our back-to-school luncheon the school board will be doing, and I'll send out emails to the board members as we get closer to organizing that. The 23rd is the last day to file for the Petersburg Borough candidacy, so to have your name printed on the ballot is by 5 p.m., so Sandra and Mara, hint, hint. Hopefully you'll get your 20 signatures in, and you'll be running this fall, we hope. Teacher work day is on the 26th, and then first day of school is the 29th. reminder to the community that is listening, August 30th is the second mandatory meeting that's going to be held for students and parents. For students that are in activities or athletics, it'll be at 6:30 in the high school library. And then on into September 1st, there'll be the Introduction to My Child conferences for elementary only, and it'll be an early release on the 1st. And then continuing any Introduction to My Child conferences, elementary only, no school for just the elementary on the 2nd of September. On the 5th, there'll be no school because it'll be Labor Day holiday, and it sounds like that weekend a cross-country meet here. Mm-hmm. And then we're already into September 6th for not only, we'll set our board agenda at that time too, but meeting number 3, the mandatory student-parent meeting. If your child's going to be in any activity or athletic in the high school only, right? Mm-hmm. They'll be meeting at 6:30 in the high school library, so there's 2 chances to get that completed if you haven't done it already. Our next board meeting will be on the 13th of September here in the high school library at 7 p.m., and maybe we can figure out setting the board agenda at a later date mm-hmm. and campus connections unless anybody wants to jump in right now.
I'll be there.
Erica will be there.
I'll do something.
Okay. Do you want to do... Which one would you like to do?
Just put me down for both. Just do it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl.
And if I can, I'll let you know.
Okay.
If something comes up. You never know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
And Sarah, mm-hmm. you're going to do the other slot there?
For both of them? Yes, I can do okay. both.
Agenda. Okay.
Yeah. Great. And then in the fall, we'll start guilting.
So we'll figure out a time.
We're all
that
back
works
together.
Best for you.
So please. No, it looks like no old business. We wrapped everything up in June. New business: the capital improvement projects for fiscal year 2018.
Yeah.
The Department of Education requires the district to submit a 6-year CIP plan prior to September 1st each year for the statewide ranking for possible legislative funding. I'll make a motion to approve Petersburg's 2018 capital improvement projects CPI list. I have a second.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded, and we'll have Dan will kind of fill us in, and we can have a discussion then.
Well, if you remember last year's fiscal year 17, it's pretty much the same list.
And they're both in.
Mm-hmm.
The change to it is the addition, number 2, the next boiler that we're putting in next week. On the advice of Don Hiley, the person helping us with the capital improvement plan out of CIRC, out of Juneau, suggested that it would be best for us to stay the course with our list that we had last year and just include the new item as our second priority. He thinks that if anything's going to pay out from the legislature, it will be projects that are already completed, that had good planning behind them, and have all the documentation ready to go. So, that being said, last year we were number 2 in the state of Alaska for the first boiler. Maybe we can recreate that this year. Mm-hmm. I really don't have much more to add since we've been through this before, but if there's anything on the list that doesn't make sense or if you'd like explained to you, I'd be happy to try to do that at this point.
Well, for anybody listening, it looks like at least the first 6 have already been done.
Correct. Not done, per se, but we have applications for those 6. And to look at it, the only one that's not done is the district-wide food renovation project and the underground storage fuel tank at the middle school.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And the service renovation actually ranked number 11 in the state last year, and the underground storage tank was number 27. Yeah. The 2 projects that we did complete, the energy renovation project, the entry mm-hmm. renovation project, got energy on my mind, I guess, after that last report, was number 24, and our gym LED light grade was number 17. And when you think about it, out of the 200 projects that are on that list, we ranked really well overall.
Yeah.
We used to be way at the bottom not too many years ago.
And that's really due to, Dan keeps talking about Don Hiley, and he has been excellent to work with through CIRC mm-hmm. To contract. We pay him a certain amount of money each year to help us with this.
Right.
But Dan really does the majority, he does a lot of the work mm-hmm. with it and a lot of the writing in the background and bringing the information together. Mm-hmm. You need to have recognition for that.
Thank you.
Work too.
It is a lot of work, but in some sick way, it's kind of fun.
We're glad you like doing it.
Well, I like to better the list. I'm competitive. I like to better my scores from last
That's
year.
That's right.
And I have been increasing and getting better.
Well, maybe if they ever do fund again, we'll
We'll be there.
Get something.
Yeah, we'll be ready.
For those that are listening further down the road, those were all for fiscal year 2018. For 19, it was the HVAC controls for middle school, high school, since we're really connected. Mm-hmm.
That's the only part of our facility that does not have digital controls. No. Okay. Just one small island right here.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that would save us more energy, too, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, it would.
Then there's more, and these get a little bit, well, I guess the middle school, high school electrical upgrades.
Just to bring us into the 21st century in terms of outlets and mm-hmm. power supply. Yeah.
And then elementary plumbing system replacement.
Well, when you get underneath that 1967 building, you have some pretty old pipes. And otherwise, we did a nice remodel on it, but there's still stuff underneath that's really old.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding up,
but
we're going to have to think about this in the future.
Yeah.
Repair the auditorium failing floor system. That's at least a few years out, anticipating
and
the future.
What has been nice about that is we've been monitoring it, and it really hasn't moved in the last 4 years.
Oh, good.
But for a while there, it was a concern. That's why it's dropped down our list, and it's not as concerning at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it does need to be repaired.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the last one that we have put out, or that Dan looked at, was the renovations district-wide for ADA, which is always a good idea, but it's expensive. So,
and we have that capital fund, and we will start looking at things that we could do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to start replacing doors here at the high school, for one thing. And we have to think about perhaps an elevator down the line, believe it or not. So.
But ours is still hanging in there.
Yeah.
Here. Yes. But
elevators are not cheap. So.
No, they're not.
So. And, of course, we're waiting to see what happens with the bathroom issue. But.
Yep. All for another day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much. So I guess if we have any questions or concerns, or we want to move things around, or we feel comfortable with this order, we can vote on it.
Oh, right.
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the Petersburg 2018 Capital Improvement Project CIP list to submit to the state. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 3-0. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Next, we'll move on. Informational, we met in June. One of the items is the board needs to have is have their own goals. So on the board for our September master calendar for our board is to update, monitor, evaluate, and progress. The board goals have been established, and we met back in June, kind of went over them, updated them, changed them, but we wanted to put it in the board packet, but also just put it out publicly so that the public knows what our goals are. So I'll just read them.
Mm-hmm.
First one is all students will graduate from high school prepared for post-secondary academic, vocational, or career opportunities. 2, Petersburg School District will offer high-quality student programming so that each student reaches their highest level of achievement. 3, increase student representation on and connectivity with the Petersburg School Board. 4, increase public input and involvement in school governance by involving members of the public in committee work. 5, increase outreach to parents, caregivers, community members about current technologies and digital citizenship. And 6, Petersburg School District, in partnership with parents and community members, will support positive behavior for greater educational outcomes. So those are our 6 goals. Please feel free in the community, if you're listening, to ask any board member, what that means or what does it look like. But we want each student to achieve as much as they can while they're here or educating them. But we also want to involve you as a community member, not only in committee work, but also educating you on safe practices online, but also what your expectations should be for your children and your relatives. And we certainly want it to be a partnership, not a dictatorship. But I do encourage you to talk to any board member about our goals if you have any questions or concerns or ideas, or if you'd like to serve on a committee. We're happy to include you.
That'd be great.
So. Next, we have superintendent goals. Superintendent goals updates have been added to our September master calendar in conjunction with our board goals, and Superintendent Clute Painter has completed her goals and will provide an overview.
Okay.
Take it away.
All right. So these are also included in writing as well, so if somebody wanted to look at them, they could. They're welcome to. I kind of broke it down into 5 different sections, one of them being board superintendent relations, and that's just really trying to provide weekly or biweekly updates to the board related to just things that are going on in the district, accomplishments, upcoming activities, or things that are going on that maybe might be important for them to know about. Information related to curriculum and instruction, continuing to work with our using data to inform our instruction, continuing to work on our certified staff evaluation system as it continues to evolve with new regulations from the state, continuing to work with our district PBIS, which is our positive behavior intervention and support system, as well as working with response to intervention, so we're making sure that we're providing support to all of our students. Continuing to oversee the curriculum adoption cycle, which Mr. Dormer actually does a lot of work with that, kind of helping to pull that together on the ground. Continuing to participate in the statewide task force for Every Student Succeeds Act and the implementation of what that will look like in Alaska, which continues to change as we speak. Reviewing and implementing updated emergency action plan procedures and drills. And we've made a lot of changes in that in the last probably 5 to 7 years, and we continue to work with that. In the budget and finance section, continuing to work on creating that flexibility and responsibility at the building level, which is going to be exciting, I think, as we continue to roll out the new system, the interactivity within it for administrators and teachers mm-hmm. both, I think, is going to streamline some of that, which is exciting. More real-time information, I think, without Karen having to hand sort of figure things, and then just continuing to work with the new system. I'd like to still do the liaison meetings that were started several years ago with Dr. Robb, actually maybe even Dr. Jacobson, but working with the two organizations, the Associated Teachers of Petersburg and the Classified Group, to meet just sort of on an informal basis, regularly, monthly, to discuss items that might be going on, issues, concerns, just on a regular basis so that things don't come up and maybe grow bigger than they need to be without just having some discussion along the way. And that relationship has been really good. We did complete the PDSP, the Support Personnel Negotiated Agreement, last spring, so it's working to make sure that that is all being implemented as was agreed upon. And then we're still working on our new hire packets as well, which was something we talked about with PDSP. And we want to do the same thing for our teachers, actually. We need to do a better job of orienting people when they come to the district. So, and then maintenance and facilities, continuing with the renovation of the cafeteria in the high school, overseeing with Dan the middle school boiler and on the capital improvement project, and then just working with the CIP list that Dan just provided information about. So there it is. We'll be busy. And if there's anything on there, too, that you think you would like to see look different or other ideas, I'm open to that.
Does the orientation packets also work for the substitutes?
That's one of the things we want to do as well, yes, so that people have better information about just the workings of the school and rules and where are the fire extinguishers and what's the emergency plan and, yeah, all of that. So.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions or? Okay. Everybody feels comfortable. Move on to AASB. Well, Association of Alaska School Boards is soliciting resolutions from local school boards for consideration at the 2016 annual conference in November. These resolutions guide the association during the upcoming legislative session. Although it's not required, I think we've only done one or two in the last few years, but they do send it out every fall to ask if there's any additional topics that we're wanting to address that haven't been addressed in the past, or I don't feel, at this point, I can think of anything. I don't know about you, Cheryl, or mm-hmm. Sandra. It would be something we would want to pass in September if something does mm-hmm. come up that is different than what already is put forth by AASB. So.
I think the last one was the language for looking at the 10%.
Yeah. Right, and that's still in there. That's good for three mm-hmm. years.
And the 70-30 went through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've changed that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I read that. Yeah, so then the ones that we have done are, and the one, they repealed the one because it wasn't necessary anymore because the state law changed. But the other resolution we did last year is good. They're good for 3 years before they consider them again. Do we need to up this again? Have they passed it? Have they not? That kind of thing. So I think unless anybody feels strongly, we just won't put anything.
Okay.
I can't think of anything.
I can't.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on then. School board seat vacancies for the Petersburg Borough. There are two school board seats for 3-year terms on the ballot this fall, and the last day for filing is August 23rd at 5 p.m. And Sandra, it's your seat, of course, you know, and then Mara's seat. And we're hoping you both will consider running, but you don't have to give an answer tonight if you don't feel comfortable. You haven't decided.
Your first board meeting.
We'll just twist your arm when we see you next. next is we have our policy readings at for first reading. Excuse me. The policy committee continues to review the Association of Alaska School Boards' recommended policy changes due to legislative actions, and we have several. So I'll make a motion to approve the listed policies at first reading.
I'll second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded, and I'm just going to read them before we have any sort of discussion. Board policy 4222 is teacher aides and paraprofessionals. 4231 is classified staff development. 5127 is graduation ceremonies and activities. 5128 is Alaska Performance Scholarship Programs. 5141.3 is health examinations. 5141.4 is child abuse and neglect. 5141.52 is suicide prevention. 6114 is crisis response plan. And 6142.2 is AIDS instructions. And I believe when I was reading, all of these are related to legislative action, so it's not really something we don't want to mess with. But we still need to go through our usual process of having a couple readings before passing it. If anybody had any concerns over the changes in those, if not, we can go ahead and vote. Sandra or Cheryl? No? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the listed policies at first reading. I think it might be a roll call. I can't remember. Well, usually it's just money. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 3-0 at first reading. Thank you.
Oh, we're almost done.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Additional comments from board members? I don't have any.
No.
I will be in touch with you. I guess I do have a comment about the lunch for everybody. Future agenda items?
Nope.
I don't think of anything. I think we'll pretty much cover it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, motion passes 3-0. Thank you and good night.